The Singapore Grip by J.G. Farrell. Adapted by Mike Walker. Episode 3.
Looking down from a 747 coming into Singapore, what you see is an island shaped rather like an elephant's head, facing out to sea, with Malaya forming the neck and body. And this elephant's head is how General Percival, the new CNC Singapore, thinks about his command in January 1942, as he stands one morning in his bathroom shaving. He uses a cutthroat razor and scrapes carefully at his cheeks, driving little mounds of soap before the blade. Very much, he reflects,
as the Japanese driving our forces back before their blade, down the peninsula of Malaya, towards the causeway that leads to...
General Percival is, fortunately for us, given to articulating his thoughts. He is a very precise man, and at this moment is thinking,
if they come, and it's likely they will, then they must launch their attack on the right ear, the back of the right ear.
Percival believes this because the island of Pulau Ubin lies in the straits between Malaya and Singapore, and the Japanese will be able to make their invasion preparation safely out of sight behind it. It is an unfortunate fact that the mighty 15-inch naval guns that have given the island its reputation as a fortress are placed
on the front of the ear, and as far as the invasion from Malaya goes, no bloody good at all. My lord, what a mess. If I get out of this with my career intact, I'll be bloody lucky. Whoa. You can almost hear the little buggers knocking at the door. Ah! Go away! This is a CNC's bathroom.
Sorry, sir.
No discipline. How are we going to beat the Japs without armour and heavy guns? Unless, if we blow up the causeway and lay a defensive perimeter around the right ear with reserves ready to move up, then the left ear can take care of itself. Decisive thinking. See, the Japs are traditionalists. Tactics tell them, prepare out of sight, attack from a concealed position. The right ear of the elephant.
Or the mouse's bottom. A few hours later, and a few miles away, in another and less elegant part of the island, Matthew Webb is sitting on Miss Vera Chang's bed, his knees almost touching the walls of her tiny room, a plate on his lap. Vera has long promised to cook him a meal, and now, here it is. He pokes at it with a chopstick.
What is it?
Baked beans.
Well, I can see that. But what are these two lumps of slippery stuff?
Chicken blood. A Chinese delicacy. Taste. You'll like it very much, Matthew, I know.
These two other lumps, covered in sauce.
These are other Chinese delicacy. They are white mice, poached Chinese style. Taste. They are very good.
Well, I did actually have a rather large breakfast. But I'm really looking forward to tasting all this, even if I don't quite manage to finish it all.
You don't think I'm a good cook?
No, of course I do.
And Matthew, in a fit of bravado, lifts one of the white mice to his lips and begins to gnaw.
I wonder which end I'm eating.
You think Miss Joan Blackett is a better cook than I am? I don't know how you can touch a European woman like her. They sweat so much. It's something horrible. Like a wet sponge.
But Vera...
Yes, obviously you prefer making love to someone like Miss Blackett, even though she sweats something horrible.
Don't be silly. You know you're only saying that because, well, because I haven't wolfed down your mice. You know I like to be with you. Come on, sit here. I'll finish the rest later. God knows what it'll be like when it's cold and congealed.
No, it's true. I am not a good cook. My mother didn't teach me. Always she was used to servants here, servants there. because she was a princess. It is because my family has blue blood that I can't cook.
Vera, I'm sure no one could do what you do to a white mouse.
If we stay together, I'll learn to cook so you can invite your friends round for a jolly good stuffing.
Well, I don't have that many friends. Major Archer, I suppose, and Jim Arendorf, wherever he is, if he's even still... Come on. I'll have to go soon.
Must you?
The Major's got his volunteer fire service up and running. We've been training for a couple of weeks, and now we're on what he calls active service. Though God knows what it'll be like if the bombing gets any worse.
Oh, before you go, lie here with me, eh? With so much quarrelling and so few kisses, how long do you think our love can last? That is a Chinese poem.
Mrs. Blackett and little Kate are leaving for Australia. Most of the women and children are being evacuated. I thought that... Tomorrow, we must arrange for you to get away. It isn't safe with the Japanese so close.
All night, I lie awake. The moonlight wouldn't let me sleep. I hear a voice calling, calling. A voice from nowhere. Nothing answers.
Tomorrow. We'll see about it tomorrow.
I'll carry my robe and leave off my sash. I'll stand by the open window, my face unpainted. My petticoat will open.
As Vera speaks the lines, Matthew lies there listening, watching a moth flutter round the flickering oil lamp, listening to the cough, which seems never to stop.
What will become of us? We lie here in this tiny room, the smell of drains, and burning rags, the smell of Chinatown. Tomorrow, tomorrow, Vera, we must make arrangements for you to leave.
But now, Matthew, we are here together.
Use the choke, man. Come on, Mr. Wu, you can do it.
One engine, Mr. Archer.
Well done. Young Parkinson there, check your connections. Mr. Langfield, it's a hose, not a python. Unroll it, it won't bite you. Ah, Matthew, where have you been?
Sorry, Major, am I late?
Too late today, my boy. Now stand back. Righto, Captain Brown, turn her on. Mr. Wu, full power. Hold it steady. Matthew, help him.
Lord, we've got some pressure today, Major.
Stand down. Mr. Wu, turn off now. Turn it. Not too wet, are you?
It's all right. I was ready for a shower.
Now you're here, you can help roll up the hoses and store them away. I've managed to get hold of one of Walter's trucks.
Yes, I was wondering what the octopus was doing here.
I think he's finally got it into his head that there won't be any Jubilee parade.
The way refugees are flooding into Singapore, there won't be room for anything soon. It's getting impossible out there.
Too many people, Matthew. And if the authorities lose control, then God knows what'll happen.
No, I think you're being unfair. At times like these, people pull together.
I hope so.
You'll see.
Maybe. This afternoon, I have been summoned to see Mr. Smith at the China Protectorate.
Oh, really?
A rather abrupt young fellow. Regards it as his mission to stamp out communism in the Chinese community. In charge of refugees. So I rather fear we're about to get invaded.
But isn't that a good thing? We've still got some space here. We should let... Well, I wish Vera would move in with me for a start.
She still won't.
I just can't persuade her.
She can't accept the loss of face, Matthew. It's all face with the Chinese. Now, I better be off, or I'll lose face.
In fact, Matthew's bungalow is already HQ for the volunteer firefighters, who use one of the rooms as a mess and sleep in hammocks on the veranda when they are on call. Most of the other rooms are similarly in use, housing planters and their families who have retreated over the causeway and are now awaiting a chance, any chance, of leaving the island.
Excuse me, excuse me. Oh, come along, give a fellow a chance. Mr. Smith, I've come to see Mr. Smith. Major Brendan Archer for Mr. Smith.
Sit down.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Smith. Now, what can I do for you? Are you going to billet
the
some...
The Volunteer Fire Brigade.
Yes?
Look at this list, if you will. Do you recognise any of these names?
Youth, Blood and Iron Traitor Exterminating Corps, Right Thinking Left Forward Brigade. No, I don't think so.
Have you ever considered hookworm larvae?
I can't say that I have.
They ignore the natural barriers and boundaries of the separate organs. They pass through the skin into the bloodstream. They migrate, Major Archer, from the pulmonary capillaries into the air sacs. Oh, yes, they do. Into the alveoli and bronchioles, and thence into the intestines.
I'm sure this is all very... But what exactly...
Listen, and you may learn something.
Good Lord.
When they reach adolescence, they develop a mouth and use it to attach themselves to the intestinal wall and suck blood, pumping it through their own horrible bodies until they have sucked that location dry. Dry, Major Archer.
Steady on, Smith. I mean, where is this leading us?
Communist infiltration of the healthy body of Singapore. Sucking the blood of decent institutions.
Ah, communism.
The greatest threat we face today.
I rather feel, Mr. Smith, that the Japanese today, tomorrow certainly...
You are acquainted with a certain Miss Vera Chiang, are you not?
Yes, Miss Chiang.
Exactly. That is why I speak of worms. You would do much better to leave civil defence to the proper authorities.
If I thought the proper authorities were competent, we wouldn't have needed to form the Volunteer Fire Brigade in the first place.
And just how many Chinese volunteers do you have?
Half a dozen. Including my good friend Mr. Wu, a businessman of total probity.
Well, you say probity, and I say worms, Major Archer. And I say to you, be wary of worms in your volunteer body. Good day to you.
I'm not sure how effective this is going to be against bombs, Major.
As long as it's well packed with earth, at least it'll be something. Besides, we must have a shelter, and there it is, no argument.
Oh, what?
Looks like more refugees for us.
We're reaching saturation point. We need more, and the Japanese won't have to bother. Singapore will sing under its own weight.
Maybe it's the best thing, too. Get rid of the bureaucrats.
You're beginning to sound like Monty Blackett.
Hi there, guys. How are you doing?
Jim? Jim!
Major, good to see you, old fellow. Damn good.
What on earth happened? We thought... Well,
thanks, Harry!
I thought I was a goner, too. Direct hit from a Jap tank. Do you remember a guy called Sinclair? Had a bit of a stutter?
Yes, I think I saw him with the Blackets.
Well, that's all anyone is going to do now. Remember the guy.
What about you, Jim? You look...
Hey, you saying I got thin? You got thin, Matthew. I hardly recognize you.
But what happened?
Whatever it is, Ehrendorf chooses not to explain. He looks 10 years older, and he looks constantly out of the corner of his eye in the direction of the latest air raid, as if trying to estimate how near, how dangerous.
I got a dose of dysentery in KL. Took a while to hit you right back here.
Well, now you are here.
I'll probably be going back to the States soon, if I can get transport.
Meantime, you can stay and lend a hand at the pumps. You haven't seen Joan, have you? Mrs. Blackett and Kate have left the island, but Joan's still here. Come on, grab your kit. I'll show you your few inches of space on the floorboards, and then we'll make a fireman out of you.
By the end of January 1942, General Percival, CNC Singapore, knows that the last act is about to begin. How it will end, he doesn't care to think. He does, however, try to get out of the office, since on the wall there is a rather fine etching of
Stamford Raffles,
the founder of Singapore, who seems to fix a beady and rather critical eye upon the general wherever he is in the room. So he breathes deeply and summons his ADC.
Keith!
Sir?
This retreat.
Withdrawal.
Withdrawal, don't you know, is a delicate business. We have to pull back without turning our flank, or he'll nip forward, if I may use the expression, and snap up the stragglers.
Might help, sir, if we had a little more air cover.
Well, we have to make do with the... The whole manoeuvre is like water going down a funnel. Everyone pulling back into a smaller and smaller space until they reach the causeway and a blockage then. I hate to think.
Perhaps we should think, sir. After all, it isn't just the British Army.
Oh, Indians. Good chaps, good discipline.
And the Australians. Half of them are... Well, not to put too fine a point upon it, sir, they're training.
No, Keith, they're our allies. We may not like it, so we'll have to make do.
And fight on in the ruins of Singapore, as Mr. Churchill expects.
Yes, I pray to God it won't come to that.
Maybe he can't hear over all the noise.
You're a young man, I'm not. God knows, you'll have a future after this.
The future can take care of itself, sir. Sorry, sir. I'd rather see a few of those Brewster buffaloes that were supposed to defend us all shooting down Jap bombers.
And here they come. Have you noticed, Keith? Their bombers always arrive in multiples of 27.
No, sir. I hadn't noticed that, actually.
The volunteer firemen are receiving a baptism of fire. They are learning to couple hoses, work their pumps, direct their water as the town burns around them.
Left here!
I'll miss it, Major. Smoke a mile high.
I can see the flames. My God, they must be 100 foot already.
Feel the heat from here.
It's the timber yard. The brown, down by the river. We'll take our water from there.
You think it'll do any good?
We might stop it spreading, if we're lucky.
Woo, Lavelle, get the suction hoses in.
There's another unit coming.
So we need 50 units. All right, couple up. Matthew, Jim, start running out the hoses. But don't get too near, the heat will cook you before you notice.
Okay, connect the next link.
Ready to... Ow!
What is it?
Metal fastenings. Hot. Give me a rag. Okay, unroll. Turn on!
Half an acre of piled wood is ablaze, and a solid block of flame is roaring hundreds of feet into the air. Matthew stands, blistered hand directing his hose, watching the water evaporate before it even reaches the flames. The water itself, as it gushes forth, is scalding. And suddenly Matthew realizes...
It's not just a fire. It's alive. It has its own smell, like sandalwood. And it's cunning and restless. It sends out little rivulets of flame, like outstretched claws, hoping to grab one of us. And yes, each time, brushing the hoses, charring them, burning them, stopping the water. It wants to live, to grow.
The volunteers are hypnotized by the fire. They are part of it. Hours pass, but time has no relevance. Neither do the bombs falling elsewhere, somewhere. The little group of men stagger through the afternoon, pulling their hoses back as the fire reaches out, moving forward where it seems they have gained a foot or two. As night begins to fall, other units join them. A little army. Chinese, Malay, British, Indian, fighting together. And in Matthew's exhausted brain, the thoughts form themselves.
It's so simple. If, instead of self-interest, we could simply work together. Look at all of us. We don't even speak the same language, and yet here we are, doing anything, everything, for each other.
And the fire bends down and chuckles.
You child, you might as well expect stockbrokers to die for the stock exchange.
So hot is it now that outlying wood, sheds, fences, a footbridge across the river, spontaneously ignite and flare in the darkness. As if the fire wants to claw its way over the river and inhabit the whole island. But it cannot, and as dawn begins to break, its fingerhold on this world begins to slip, and it falls back into ashes. Matthew sits slumped against the fire truck, feeling an extraordinary sense of freedom and fulfillment.
This is what I should have been doing years ago. Instead of which I've wasted my time with theories and empty disputes. When the war's over, yes, I shall make myself useful to someone.
Matthew! Oh, you all right?
I think so, Major. Did we lose anyone?
Mr. Wu. He got too close. When we reached him this morning... Poor fellow. Is it always like this?
This was the worst one yet.
Oh, my God.
We'd better get back to the bungalow. Clean up, grab some sleep. We'll be out again later.
Despite his revelation, Matthew realizes that there are some problems that have to be dealt with at once. And he finds himself visiting the Blackets, waiting for Joan, with a certain amount of trepidation.
Be careful with that. It's very valuable, an antique.
Joan, how are you? I heard that you got engaged to Nigel Langerfield. I suppose, well, it does mean that the two biggest companies on the island are now, what I mean is, congratulations.
Thank you, Matthew.
I heard that Nigel had gone back to England.
Yes.
And I assumed, well, that you would be joining him.
Naturally. We're getting married at his old college. Do be careful with that. I told you, it's an antique.
Yes. It's just that...
Matthew, I am busy. There's packing to do. Most of the servants have deserted.
There's someone I need to get off the island. I don't have to tell you who. I can make sure she has enough money. More than enough money, and I'll pay for the ticket, of course. The thing is, getting an exit permit, and we think, Major Archer thought, that it would be easier if she, so to speak, were employed by someone. Someone like you, with a British passport and from a good family. She won't be any trouble, Joan. I guarantee.
Can I get this straight? You want to know if I can take someone with me when I leave?
It's terribly urgent. We
have to... A Chinese girl. An Amar. A servant. Really. It's impossible. You know how hard it is to find a
person. Joan, it isn't anyone. It's someone you know. She'll be in deadly danger if the Japanese ever take Singapore and she's still here.
Is it wise, Matthew, getting mixed up in all this communist business? I really...
Oh, look, for God's sake, Joan! I mean, we were friends. I know, I...
You what?
You know we'd never have been... That it wouldn't have worked out. Nigel Langerfield is... You'll be happy. It'll be... Joan, please. For the sake of...
I'm sorry. Miss Chang should have thought about all this earlier in the day. There's nothing I can do, I'm afraid.
To hell with you, then, you bitch.
Matthew?
Yes?
You may have a communist whore, but I hope you haven't taken to stealing from the middle class yet.
Eh?
The statuette?
Oh, my apologies. Here you are.
I waited hours. Nothing. The Australians will not take me.
This is absurd. It's government policy. All women and children should be allowed, damn it, encouraged to leave.
Oh, what a tangle we're in, Matthew. But never mind. Let's have a nice cup of tea. It'll perk up our spirits.
We need to know why no one will take you.
I have only a landing certificate as a refugee and a short-term visitor's permit. No passport. And without one, I am up the creek without a paddle.
Vera, the island's full of refugees with only a permit.
It makes me feel very blue, Matthew. But what can I do?
At least come to the bungalow. Just bring a toothbrush and whatever else you need, and we'll be together.
No, I am better to stay here. Soon I will feel better.
It's dangerous. You're too near the river and the docks.
I will stay.
You mustn't give up hope, Vera.
Oh. Lie down with me, Matthew. We shall spoon together, eh?
The Major told me that if we have a photograph, we should be able to get an exit visa from the China Protectorate. Do you have a photo?
I have many. Good times and bad times. You take one and then we'll see. Maybe we'll go together, eh?
We must leave soon. If the Japs take Singapore...
You always said they wouldn't, Matthew.
Well, perhaps no. Who knows? I must go now. I'm on duty. Is there anywhere for you to shelter here if there's a raid?
Don't worry. I feel better now. I'm sorry to have been a weak link.
You're not a weak link. Oh. Make sure you eat something today, even if it's only a pair of white mice on toast.
Cup of char, Major?
Char, old boy. And thanks. You know, even with the war knocking at our doors, the bloody bureaucrats can't let go. They're concerned at the number of official blankets fire prevention for the use of that we've...
Used?
Exactly. Oh, this place, this Singapore. It's been a world of its own for so long. Nothing was ever allowed to disturb the calm surface of things, and now...
A lot of them by the throat and...
Oh, hello, Major. Jim.
Not late, am I?
Not at all, Matthew. But you do appear rather...
The China Protectorate. Do they know there's a war on? Do they care?
No luck.
I've got the photo, the papers, everything she needs, and they just turned it down. No explanation, nothing.
I know someone at the Protectorate. I think I shall go and have a word with him. Now, Matthew, you're a scholar. Why don't you finish this off for me?
What is it?
Fire blankets.
Well, Major Archer...
Mr. Smith?
What can I do for you?
I would like an exit permit for a Miss Vera Chiang.
Does she have a valid certificate of admission to the colony? Why doesn't she apply herself?
She has, and has been refused without explanation.
I'm afraid in that case
she would be in grave danger should the Japanese gain control of Singapore.
I can't do much about that, I'm afraid. Still, I suppose we could have a little look at her file, see if she is properly registered. We should have a photograph and thumbprint. Good. So, right, so what exactly is your interest in this case?
She's a friend.
I do believe we've discussed this woman before, haven't we? I seem to recall informing you that she was not politically reliable, maybe even a whore. Surely you don't mean to tell me that she is... A friend?
Even if your evil-minded suggestions were true, it would be no reason to refuse her an exit permit. Her life is in danger if she remains in Singapore.
She had connections with the General Labour Union. I suppose you know that that is a communist organisation. And we also have information that she was implicated in communist plots in Shanghai before she even came here. So, you see...
I see nothing except that she'll be on a Japanese blacklist if she remains.
If you raise your voice with me, Major Archer, you'll find that it doesn't get you anywhere.
And may I remind you that the Japanese are the enemy, not the Chinese. I want an exit permit for that young woman, and I don't mean to leave without one.
Out of the question. In Singapore, we have the communists isolated and under control. We can't allow them to spread all over the place. They are like, if I may put it so, millions of seeds in a pod. If we allow that pod to burst in Australia or... Oh, Lord.
Well, it looks like they're heading our way. We'd better get down to the shelter.
Yes, they do seem to be coming our way.
Excuse me?
Have you noticed... How their air fleets always seem to be multiples of 27.
No, I have not. We'll have to continue this another time. Excuse me.
I am not leaving this office without a permit, and neither are you.
That's the roof spotter. They'll be here. I don't have the papers. I've got the proper forms. You must come back and let me get through.
I've really had about enough of this, Smith. Just write it out on official paper and sign and stamp it.
Let me through.
All right, that's it. Put up your fists.
Oh, are you mad? There's an air raid. What are you doing?
I'm going to give you a punch on the nose.
Oh, this is absurd. Don't be...
that was close. Now, come on. Put your fists up.
Get out of my way.
Oh. So you're a kicker, eh? Right then.
All right. Look, just let me... Here, what? Why didn't you tell me she was your tart? I mean, for chaps' tarts, we can always make an exception. There you are. All right. Happy now?
Thank you, Mr. Smith. And one more thing. If I hear you've done anything to countermand this...
Oh.
February begins. Singapore's population has grown from 500,000 to over 1 million. General Percival's problems have no end. Or at least, the only end he sees is unimaginable.
Food, water, everything. Short supply. Well, no supply. What happens next?
We have to stop them getting in, sir. It's only common sense. As far as the Japs are concerned, they might as well sit there waiting, let another 500,000 come across.
Well, no avoiding it.
No, sir. Zero, sir. Should we take cover?
Don't! The way they just... So bloody insolent! As if they're saying, stop me if you can, and they know we can't.
We can at least close the causeway, sir.
Well, go ahead, Keith. Call the sappers. Tell them to...
Hello, Major. Yes. There's no reason to wait. Once the last of the men is clear, they are good. Go ahead.
There he goes, sir.
Oh, well. There we are. Or should I say, here we are. Fortress Singapore. Let's pray to God and Stamford Raffles that we can hold on.
From the beginning of February, a 9-to-5 curfew is in operation. But you can't confine people to their houses when they have no houses. And you can't control troops when they have no units, no discipline, and, in the case of the Australian forces, no reason to defend this mighty emporium, this hinge of empire. It is getting dangerous to be out on your own.
Hey, you, cheeky!
Excuse me?
I'll excuse you anytime, girlie, if you'll have a drink with me.
Oh, excuse. I am not thirsty.
Who said anything about being thirsty? Drink it.
Please, this is a jolly bad show.
No way, darling. This is a jolly good show.
Take your hands off her, you...
Wake up, Matthew. I think you were having a nightmare.
We've got to get her out of here, Major.
Don't worry, we will. The Felix Roussel leaves tonight for Bombay. The wretch Smith hasn't gone back on his paperwork. Everything is in order. We'll get her to the port. Get her out. Don't worry.
I do. I don't want her alone on the street. It's getting dangerous out there.
People working together in adversity? Or people looting and raping because they can get away with it?
Don't.
You've changed a lot since you've been here, Matthew.
I've lost 4 stone in weight. Can I borrow one of the lorries to fetch Vera? I was wondering if Jim might give me a hand in case someone tries to hijack us.
He's not here. I think he said he was going over to the Blacketts.
Well, not to see Joan. Surely they...
No, don't worry. He just wanted to swim a few lengths in their pool now that ours has been drained.
Oh. As Erendorf swims, he pushes aside a piece of wood floating in the scummy water. It bears the words, prosperity in continuity. He takes a breath and goes under, and swims, counting the tiles on the bottom of the pool, swimming through the murky, cool water as if isolated from everything. He wishes he could swim on forever, but he needs another breath and surfaces, and sees Joan Blackett standing at the edge of the pool.
Oh, hi. I hope you don't mind me using your pool. I thought you'd all gone.
Jim, you must help me get to the ship. I've been trying to ring people, but they've all gone. The only servants are too old, and Father's making an inventory of goods at the port.
What about Monty?
He's supposed to be meeting me there. You know what he's like. You can't depend on him. I need to depend on you, Jim. Father said he'd take me, but they've all gone, and... I can't manage the luggage by myself. All of them useless. Absolutely bloody useless!
Jim Erendorf turns on his back and swims a few lazy strokes, looking up at the sky, which is clear, but covered with a white haze.
From above, I must look like a starfish or a piece of flotsam.
Look, it isn't much. I just need someone and, well, you won't let me down, will you? You never let me down. Jim, I'm depending on you. I'm relying on you.
And this is the woman who refused to help Vera and Matthew. And yet she's so beautiful, like... like a clipper ship with a captain who's gone insane. I wouldn't help her if my life depended on it.
There's no one else I can turn to, Jim. Only you. Will you help me?
Sure. Of course I will.
Looks like the whole island's heading for the port.
Good job we started early. Find yourself at the back of this lot.
So many people, all running for dear life. We will never get through.
You'll get through if we have to walk.
They haven't moved for half an hour. Come on!
Perhaps they will delay the time of sailing.
Doubt it. They'll want to be well clear by dawn. Japanese fighters.
Here we go! We're past Trafalgar Street. Shouldn't be long now.
Oh, let's do it on foot. It's the only way. Vera, I'll carry your case.
Forget the case, Matthew. It'll slow me down.
Stay close, Vera. Hang on to me. Major, you better stay with the truck.
I'll see you back at the bungalow.
As they push their way through the crowd, Matthew and Vera stumble over a vast array of things. Saucepans, vases, clothes, even chairs and wardrobes. As if the escapees are determined to take it all with them, but find yard by yard that it is stripped away. All except...
Good Lord! Isn't that Jim Arendorf?
Oh, gosh.
It is Arendorf. Between the shafts of a rickshaw, upon which is a vast pile of luggage, upon which sits...
Faster, Jim, faster! They'll be sailing soon!
Joe. Streaming with sweat, Arendorf gallops on towards the boarding point where officials wait to inspect boarding passes and exit.
Be careful, you idiot. We nearly lost the canteen of cutlery. It's a wedding present. We'll never get through all those people, Matthew.
I don't think most of them have passes. There's only a few people actually boarding.
There is Miss Blackhead.
She's got some stewards to carry her luggage. How does she do it? Come on. There's not much time.
All aboard. All aboard the water board. All aboard.
It's all right. We've still got time. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes, what is it?
Ticket and pass.
No, sorry. It's an alphabetical order, sir. We're not ready for the V.
No, it's not V. It's C. Miss Chang.
No, sorry, sir. This pass has been issued in the Chinese manner to Chiang Vera.
No! Vera Chang. Look! Look!
Chinese names are always backwards from our point of view, sir. She is listed as Miss Chiang Vera, and V is at the end of the alphabet, and we haven't even yet reached the M. You'll have to wait.
But the ship's sailing in 5 minutes. They're getting ready to lift the gangplank. For God's sake, man, let her on.
Oh, now, come along, sir. What would happen if I let him?
You son of a bitch!
Let her on!
Let me go on.
What, you hear me? Get back!
Matthew, help!
Vera?
Help!
Vera, Vera, where are you? Vera, my darling! No!
The crowd presses forward, squeezing the air from Matthew's lungs. He struggles free, sees Vera go down under the milling feet. In a rage, he shoves through the crowd, grabbing a piece of wood and hitting out till he's cleared a space around her. He picks her up and lays her over his shoulder. Blood from her face runs down his back. The ship is about to slip her moor. The last thing Matthew sees is Monty Blackett in the seat of the family Rolls-Royce, grinning as he and it are winched aboard. General Percival sleeps uneasily, dreaming of an old headmaster glaring sternly at him over some dereliction of duty. A headmaster who looks suspiciously like Stamford Raffles.
No, sir. No. No, no, it's not my fault. I just... Oh, what is it? Come in.
It started, sir.
What started?
The Japs. The landing in the northwest.
Impossible, Keith. It's the wrong ear. They're supposed to attack the right ear. It's the right ear, not the wrong ear.
Sorry, sir, but General Bennett is quite clear about it. His forces are facing...
It's diversionary. They want us to move our forces from the right ear to the left ear. Even so, we'd better throw a defensive line through Jurong, just in case Bennett is right. Get me my trousers, will you, Keith? There's a good chap. Oh, and that bloody picture in the office.
Stamford Raffles, sir.
Yeah, get rid of it, will you?
Matthew, how is she?
Oh, she's all right. But she still won't come back here. I just don't know why. It'd be so much...
Maybe she just doesn't want to be too closely associated with Europeans.
God. The whole thing. All of it. What a stupid mess we've made of everything.
Here, have a drink. I decided to open up your father's wine cellar. No sense letting the Japs drink it all. Have a glass of Lafitte.
Mm. I mean, did you see Monty? That bloody car? And Joan and her luggage? I'm sorry, Jim, but that woman is... Oh, this is good. Will we ever be able to loosen the grip of the selfish and corrupt on human affairs? Mm.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. It seems that the expression Singapore grip doesn't refer to the local flu.
No, but... no. I know what that is. It's the grip of our Western culture and economy on the Far East. It's the stranglehold of self-interest.
Well, no, it's the ability acquired by certain ladies of Singapore to control their autonomous...
Another bottle, Matthew? Rather fine Margot.
No, I think I shall try and sleep. I doubt that I will, but...
And the nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
To the battery of sounds to which Singapore town has become accustomed are added the odd slithering rattle of incoming artillery shells fired by the Japanese gunners from a bridgehead on the island itself. The various Allied units, British, Indian, Australian, are falling back before the Japanese advance. The Supreme Commander, General Wavell, flies in to receive General Percival's report.
We've fallen back, sir, on the
defensive line.
The defensive line at Gerong. It's our intention to counterattack. General Maxwell...
If you recall, sir, we were not able to...
Yeah, unfortunately, conditions, you understand, sir, conditions were not propitious. Frankly, sir, it's pretty confusing behind the lines. Communications, the constant bombing, artillery fire. We've blown up the refinery at Bukit Timah, so at least they won't get the fuel. We'll deny them that.
Singapore town. The defences.
What? I've informed the governor, sir, that...
Wavell passes on Mr. Churchill's displeasure at the feebleness of the defence. England expected better.
Yes, sir.
Then he flies away, leaving Percival to wonder...
How did it happen, Keith? Jap fanatics on bicycles? And they're going to run us down without even tinkling the bloody bell?
Bombing and shelling continue, almost without break now, until it seems as if the whole of the island is one vast fire, and above it, a column of black smoke builds higher and higher into the still air.
Matthew, the fire's spreading across the river. There's a risk the old Blackett and Webb warehouse will catch. Walter's still there. He won't leave. Will you try and talk to him?
Of course.
Matthew Webb! Where are you?
Matthew, come on up. I suppose you want to destroy all this rubber, do you? I don't know what your father would have thought of all this madness that seems to have got hold of everyone.
What is this place?
The factor's office. I used to work here myself at the beginning. Bit of history. I suppose you want to turn me out so you can burn it down and stop the Japs.
It's going to burn down without our help. In any case, we're trying to stop fires, not start them. Look... Look out there. Whole docks ablaze. Ew! My God! What's that?
Fruit bats. They roost up here.
Look, you have to leave. Have you any plans?
Certain business acquaintances are happy to share their boat with me. Leaving this evening, you better come too. They won't refuse to take a Webb, even if it means throwing someone else overboard, eh? After all, war is only a passing phase in business life. Look at all this stuff. We're destroying it before we leave. Plant, machinery, oil, rubber. Why? Business goes on. It's us or the Japanese. We'll come to some agreement. We could, if only those self-righteous fools would stop destroying their...
It's the Japanese, Walter. It's their bombers, their shells.
Yeah, you seem to forget, Matthew, the heavy responsibility the businessmen carry.
Not now, Walter. Ooh, the fire's getting closer. We must leave. The smoke's starting to...
The bats don't like here. Now, listen, you might think responsibility is nothing, but what about the shareholders? The poor widow, the clergyman, the spinster who has trusted her savings to your hands?
Yes, could we...
In the early days, I used to work long after everyone else had gone. Why? Because I knew how many poor people depended on Blackett and Webb's dividends. Oh, yes, scoff if you want to.
I don't want to scoff. I just want us to get out before we're trapped.
I suppose the world was different in those days. The spirit of the times, eh? You see, in those days, we didn't have any...
Walter, I can hear crackling from down below. I think the fire may have taken hold of the...
We used to have rickshaw races. Oh, that was grand. Mind you, they were strict with us. Not like your father with all his newfangled ideas. Gymnastics!
Come on.
Where did that smoke come from, eh?
And the fruit bats crash through the window of the little office and fly off into the thick, smoky twilight of noon.
Hello, HQ. No, he's not here. He's with the governor. Yes, when he does, General. Sir.
Any tea?
Sergeant Parker's got a brew going, sir.
Oh.
Parker, get some tea up here, will you? Good man. Well, sir?
Well, I told him. Water mains cracked all over the island. We're in line for an epidemic. He just looks at me. These civilian johnnies. They've got their heads screwed on all right. He doesn't want to get tarred with surrender. Oh, no. It's down to the forces, he says. Our decision.
But what decision, sir?
Well, while we've got water, we'll fight on.
But, sir, you said it. What? Pipes are cracked. We haven't got any water. Not for much longer, anyway. And what we have got, we have to boil. Thank you, Sergeant.
Well, Churchill won't like it. But then Churchill won't get the blame for it. I want you to call my commanders, Keith. Have them here at 9:30 tomorrow morning. And take the decision then. Not that there's any question about it. Keith... I thought I told you to move that damned picture!
Sir?
Thomas Stamford Raffles! The great commercial emporium!
Drink your tea, sir, before it gets cold. I just have to get something from somewhere else.
And I am the man who lost Singapore. God help me.
At 8:30 on the evening of Sunday, the 15th of February, Singapore passes into the hands of the Imperial Japanese Army.
Hiya, guys!
Jim. Hello, boy!
What do you think of the bike? The fashionable mode of transport right now in Singapore.
Well, never mind about that.
Have you seen any Japs? Are they here?
I guess they're waiting, Major.
For what?
Tomorrow? I don't know.
Oh, I don't suppose they're in any hurry now. After all, where are we going, other than into internment?
Now, that's where you're wrong. I don't intend to spend the war in a Japanese camp, and we still have to get Vera out, right?
How?
Small boat, property of the Blackett and Webb Sailing Club. I remembered it from when one time I went sailing with Joan. It's in the boathouse. I checked. It's still there.
Wonderful.
We go tonight.
As night falls, a great crowd gathers around the cathedral where a service is being held. Matthew wanders looking for Vera, who has promised to meet him, and then, suddenly, in the crowd, there she is.
Matthew!
Oh, Vera.
It was like the first time we bumped into each other. Do you remember?
Of the great world, yes. There you were.
And here I am.
We must hurry. There's no time. We have to get to the shore. Jim and the Major are waiting for us.
Matthew, where have the birds gone? I've listened, but They are not there anymore.
Oh, they'll come back, I promise. And we'll come back. But now we have to go.
Yes. Yes.
Jim! Major!
Are they there?
Nothing yet. Come on. There's a light! Major!
Hurry!
Matthew, we need you. The damn thing's stuck above the water line.
Come on. She's moving. Don't stop. Come on! Come on!
Okay, there's food, water. I guess that's it. Let's get the hell out of here. Vera.
Sorry, sports, we're taking that.
What do you mean? You can't. We have to get this woman away.
Don't anybody move.
Major.
All right, boys, get on board.
We're the water's on board, Sarge.
Come on, Sarge.
Why don't you find your own goddamn boat?
Top it. You too, Clubber.
Look.
Ready, Sarge.
Thank you, gentlemen. Give my regards to Tojo.
Vera tears a strip off her dress to bind the Major's leg wound. He swears it isn't at all painful.
No.
But even in the moonlight, his face is grey.
Quick, come on.
They limp away into the night. Further along the shore, Walter Blackett steps aboard a handsome motor yacht. There is little rioting in the streets. A kind of apathy has settled on everyone. Chinese, Malay, Indian, European alike, as they wait, caught between the end and the beginning. Matthew and Vera find themselves back in her tiny cupboard of a room.
Oh, you can't stay here. Someone in the building would inform on you sooner or later.
Where else is there to go? Besides, there are simple people here. They don't know about Shanghai or politics.
Well, they've seen you with me.
They'll just think I'm a prostitute. To them, all Englishmen look alike. Really, Matthew, I will be all right. I've been in this kind of situation before. Besides, we have no choice. Now, hold me for a moment.
Oh, Vera.
Now, you must go. It'll be better if we aren't seen together anymore. I'll cut off my hair and wear Chinese clothes.
Isn't there anything I can do for you? Take some money, at least. If you buy stuff now, you can barter it later.
I'm sorry to cry like this. I am so tired, that's all. Tomorrow, when I've slept, I shall be bright as a button.
Bright as a button. We'll see each other again. Won't we?
Yes. One day. Certainly.
By Tuesday, the Japanese forces begin to round up Europeans and march them off to Changi jail. As the long column passes a small group of Indians, they jeer and laugh. Already, crudely drawn Japanese flags are appearing in shop windows.
Well, Matthew, do you still reckon that one day all races will abandon self-interest and live together in harmony?
Major, you shouldn't be trying to walk with your wound.
Oh, it's nothing. Nothing at all.
We'd better see if we can get you a lift on one of their trucks.
No. Best as we are. Don't try to change things.
Yes. Yes, I do.
What?
I do believe that one day we'll live in harmony.
In the weeks, then months, then years that follow, Matthew finds that his world has shrunk. Once he speculated grandly on the fate of nations. Now his thoughts are limited to the smallest of matters. A glass of water. A handful of rice. News filters through of the mass executions of Chinese suspected of helping the British or of being communists. Matthew often wonders,
what chance will Vera have?
But then, one day in his second year of captivity, while he is out with a working party, a young Chinese brushes against him and hands him a package. When he opens it, he finds a lump of sugar and two cooked white mice. And he thinks,
well, who knows? At least there's a chance. Perhaps she'll survive after all. And so will I.
And now there's really no more to be said. Since tomorrow is another day, as they say. As they say.
The Singapore Grip by J.G. Farrell. Adapted for radio by Mike Walker. J.G. Farrell was played by Robert Glenister, Matthew Webb by Jonathan Cake, Joan Blackett by Samantha Sparrow, and Jim Ehrendorf by Kenny Blythe. Major Archer was played by John Rowe, Vera Chang by Sulin Louis, Walter Blackett, Timothy Bateson, General Percival, Barry Foster, Mr. Smith, David Thorpe, and the ADC by Thomas Arnold. Gamelan music was composed and performed by Felix J. Trumpet solos were by Byron Wallen. The Singapore Grip was directed by Peter Kavanagh.